Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour this year. We have a holiday treat, a preview of Invisibilia, NPR's newest show. Invisibilia looks at the invisible forces that shape human behavior, like how do other people's expectations physically change your brain? From the people who created This American Life and Radiolab, look for Invisibilia on iTunes under podcasts. Subscribe and be the first to hear full episodes of Invisibilia on January 9th. Listen. Welcome to Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's Pop Culture and Entertainment blog, Monkey See, and I'm here in the studio with Stephen Thompson. Stephen, what do you do at NPR?
I am a writer and editor with NPR Music.
Well, Stephen and I are here in the studio today because the show that we are bringing you is the second half of our live event from Sixth and I on December 9th. And the first thing that you're going to hear in this half is, you know, we went back and forth about whether to leave this in or take it out. But the first thing you're going to hear is a great section in which they were changing the set and Stephen and Glenn Weldon were hawking our merch.
I'd love to tell you that an enormous amount of preparation went into this moment.
No, this was just vamping.
This is just vamping and goofing while we had a set change. This is a loose episode
it
of
is.
Pop Culture Happy Hour.
It is. And you should know that there is a moment in this presentation of the merch where you might think, what is Glenn holding? What is he talking about? What is he making reference to? He is making reference to his book.
Mm-hmm. Superman, the Unauthorized Biography,
which has a cover that you can look up for yourself and you'll see what he's talking about. He was holding up his book. And if by chance all of that merch hawking that they were doing is compelling to you,
If it gives you a taste,
keep in mind that stuff is available online with all of the perhaps filthy lucre that you are taking into 2015. You can spend it at shop.npr.org, where you can get our t-shirt and our cocktail shaker and our pint glasses and all that good stuff. And so you'll be able to look that up there. So this is, as Stephen said, a little bit of a loose show, but it brings you a bunch of the craziness that was our live event, and we kind of like it.
Yeah, it's fun. This is deep cuts.
This is.
This is for devotees.
It's deep cuts for devotees.
Pop Culture Happy Hour.
As we head toward the new year. So go ahead and enjoy the second half of our live show.
We have been tasked with telling you about our amazing Pop Culture Happy Hour merchandise. And let me just say up front, we would not be doing this if we weren't also doing a set change. So the alternative to this is just kind of stony silence and just kind of a of people in the crowd talking. So we do have several items for sale at our merch table, and I would like to thank our wonderful merch people. Give them a hand. And if you really, you're all applauding for the merch people, if you really want to celebrate them, the way to go about it is to acquire one of several items that I have before me on the ground. And we were, you know, sometimes at live shows in the past, we'll do like a giveaway, we'll do like a little ticket drawing, and the winner is so-and-so. But we've got these balconies, which is, so, you know, I could set up like a shaker cannon to like a big elastic band with like a slingshot and send it hurtling skyward.
Y'all ready for this?
Glenn, you know, thank you, Glenn.
Sure.
Glenn is the reason we are not currently doing a synchronized dance routine.
Yep. We,
every time we are given headset mics,
oy,
The countdown clock to my performing a little bye bye bye.
Every time.
I mean, the countdown clock, it's 000. I just do it immediately. Like, the guy still will be like wiring it in. I'm like,
yeah.
Anyway.
Never gets old.
No. Especially for the people that that I work with every single week.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have this. Glenn, would you like to?
Sure.
Actually, no, I just wanted you to go like this.
Yeah, okay.
We have this handsome Pop Culture Happy Hour martini shaker for those of you who prefer your drinks mixed. I do not. And so I have one of these sitting in my curio cabinet like a trophy. I don't know. Anyway, they're great. No, it's wonderful. These handsome shakers are for sale at our merch table. Pop culture happy hour pint glasses for those who prefer their drinks frothy, as I do. They are beautiful and sturdy, and I have yet to accidentally break one, which means that they are unbreakable. Mm-hmm. I have a number of these in my closet. Pop Culture Happy Hour t-shirts, which you will not have if you buy a Pop Culture Happy Hour t-shirt, which I highly recommend. You will not have the same problem I do, which is accidentally wearing yours to work and looking like the band wearing its own t-shirt on stage. I often sleep in these because they're that comfortable, but then I often just like don't shower, get out of bed, and leave. So if you do that, if you're like me, you won't be embarrassed. I'm holding it up backwards. Pop Culture Happy Hour t-shirts. And finally, I'll take that.
I got it. It's holiday gift-giving season. And, you know, no matter what your color or creed, this is a striking Hanukkah blue, for example. So you should buy 8. And it would be a miracle. Also, notice this very brilliant Santa Claus red right up here. So it's you should buy 12, one for each day of Christmas. It's like 12 books remaindered. That's basically why we are pushing it as hard as we can. So yes, I will be happy to sign it. I will be happy to correct the numerous typos that I have found. And I will be very in your debt if you were to deign. No paperback coming, people. This is it. All right.
Thank you, you guys.
Thank you.
So, for our first quiz, we are inviting up two of the great, great people who have done the show with us in 2014. Kat Chow writes, reports, and wrangles social media at NPR's Code Switch Project. And Matt Thompson is NPR's Director of Vertical Initiatives. And Mischief, as he always tells us, and Mischief.
And Mischief.
And is also in charge of making NPR much better dressed, as you can tell.
Aww.
Before we start, we learned recently that Matt is moving on to bring his wonderful talents to The Atlantic. And
so
we all
sad.
Went into an immediate period of great sadness. On a personal note, Matt developed the Code Switch Project. He hired Gene, he hired Kat. Code Switch has probably meant more to me than is probably obvious to folks who don't know me real, real well. They are my dear, dear friends. I think they've made NPR better. They have made me better. They have made the show better. And so for being the person who kind of brought that together, I just want to take a moment and especially thank Matt very much. And now some questions about toys.
She's exactly. Going full throttle.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Channeling all that sadness to this quiz.
Yes.
Right, exactly. All right, I'm going to start with you, Matt. You will each get 3 questions in this quiz. Matt, which of the following is not a real collection of surprisingly specific Barbies that exists or has existed? Is it A, Barbie Loves Bond, including Goldfinger Barbie, Die Another Day Barbie, and Octopussy Barbie? Is it B, the TV Moms collection, including June Cleaver Barbie, Carol Brady Barbie, and Mrs. Cunningham Barbie? Is it Barbie Loves Pop Culture, including Elvis Barbie, Sinatra Barbie, and Barbie as Elle Woods from Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde? Or is it D, the Dancing with the Stars collection, including Paso Doble Barbie, Samba Barbie, and Waltz Barbie? 3 of those, I'll remind you, are real collections of Barbies.
I have got to say, I mean, C sounded really weird to me. Not weirder necessarily than the rest of them, but tonally different. So I'm going to say, of the things that sound not like the other, C is my choice.
Barbie Loves Pop Culture?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's a real one.
Dang it.
It's the TV moms. Believe it or not, that is the grouping. Elvis, Sinatra, and Elle Woods from Legally Blonde 2.
Sinatra Barbie, though?
Yeah. Yeah. But Sinatra Barbie.
What would that even look like?
I would never lie.
Elvis Barbie?
All right. Cat. Which of the following is not a real item in the Disney store? A, a Rapunzel doll where you twirl her plastic hand and she sings, "When Will My Life Begin?" Sounds a little sad. A frozen tote bag that says, "Keep calm and let it go." An up book called, "So You're Feeling Very Sad." Or Tinkerbell shoes for baby.
Oh, man. Well, I want that tote bag, so I hope it's real. let's see. Actually, I'm going to have to go with the tote bag for not being real.
Oh, no, the tote bag is real. The up book is not real. I'm sorry. So far, 0-0. Matt Thompson, when someone put a doll of Leonardo DiCaprio at the Academy Awards on sale at eBay earlier this year, what did they repaint Leonardo DiCaprio from? What was the original doll? Was it A, Hunger Games PETA doll, B, a Dukes of Hazzard Beau Duke doll, C, a Prince William doll, or D, a Simon Le Bon doll liberated from a full Duran Duran playset?
I'm thinking builds now, like doll builds and Leonardo DiCaprio for most of it. I'm going to go with D's, Duran Duran. Yes.
No. No, it was PETA from The Hunger Games, of course. It's just like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Of course.
Cat Chow.
All right.
Which of the following does not appear on the Parenting Magazine list of the best toys of 2014? Is it A drum set including drumsticks, jingle bells, a maraca with clacker, tambourine, and two egg shakers, which it suggests you give to any child over 18 months old?
Oh, that is horrible.
Do not invite me over. B, the woofer hound dog guitar. C, the Monster High Create a Monster Design Lab. Or D, Snipsy, a cut-your-own-hair playset.
Wow, that does not appear in this parenting magazine.
Right.
D, Snipsy.
Snipsy is right, Cat Chow.
Well done, Cat Chow.
Matt Thompson, which of the following is not a real board game based on a TV series? A, the Hill Street Blues game where only you can track down a dangerous perp. B, the Family Ties game where you are a member of the Keaton family trying to get the family together to take a portrait. C, the A-Team game where B.A., played by Mr. T, helps you recover the stolen formula for a popular soft drink. Or D, the All in the Family game where you have to guess which answer to a loaded question came from Archie Bunker.
I'm going to say that the Family Ties game feels like the one, I mean, I would want to play all of them, but that's the one that I would want to play least, which is not a bar to anything, but I'm still going to say B, Family Ties.
No, I'm sorry. That one is real. It is the Hill Street Blues game.
Is it really about taking the family portrait? Really?
It is really about taking a family portrait. You can't make these things up. Cat Chow, currently in the lead 1-0, so she's already won. But she's still got one more question, and it is, which is not a real movie based on a popular toy? A, Raggedy Ann and Andy, A Musical Adventure. B, Baby Alive Won't Stop Crying. C, Rainbow Bright and the Star Stealer. D, The Care Bears Oopsie Does It.
I wish Care Bears wasn't real. I would say the Baby Alive Won't Stop Crying.
That is correct.
Wow.
Miss Cat Chow is the winner. Please help me thank Matt Thompson and Cat Chow.
Thank you, sir. For our other quiz, one of the things that we tend to do this time of year is survey the year in holiday television. And to do that, we are inviting up two of our favorite culture connoisseurs. Bob Mondello is a film critic for All Things Considered. And Audie Cornish is one of its hosts.
This is good because now I know what we're doing. No one sent an email or...
Nothing.
Yeah.
Television.
It's not like the news business.
If you think about how many millions of people listen to these people do real journalism, and you see what we're making them do, it's so cool. Bob and Audie are both nice enough to participate in our little clown show from time to time, so... we wanted to offer them our holiday television quiz, Bob.
Uh-oh.
The kids' network, Nick Jr., has a show called Bubble Guppies, in which actual fish go to school underwater. That is a true story.
Okay.
In the special A Very Guppy Christmas, Beau Bridges voices what character? Is it A, Yonder Starfish, which leads three king crabs to the manger?
This is like a Mad Libs. Do you like understand like any words? I don't understand any of the words.
Oh, is it B, Hark the Heralded Angelfish? Is it C, O Little Prawn of Bethlehem? A shrimp who unexpectedly becomes a hero? Or is it D, Mr. Claus, a jolly white-bearded lobster who resembles Santa?
I'm sorry, this is Beau Bridges?
Yes, Beau Bridges. He's
like, I know, that's his takeaway. What?
That's the clarifying question. So we got Yonder Starfish, Hark the Heralded Angelfish, O Little Prawn of Bethlehem, and Mr. Claus.
He's clearly the starfish.
It is Mr. Claus. Mr. Claus, Yonder Starfish came from right up here. That's the real scary part. Audie Cornish. The TLC network that used to stand for the Learning Channel.
Now I thought this was going to be about TLC. Did you see that? I was like, yeah, I won't know about this.
Right.
But okay.
Exactly. Now it stands for not anything.
Yeah.
Has a special which follows a guy whose company does holiday decorating for famous people, including Mario Lopez and Allison Sweeney. So it's cool that they were available, right? What is the name of the special? Is it Deck the Halls with Dr. Christmas, Make Merry with Mr. Mistletoe, Don We Now with Don Winslow, or Ding Dong Merrily on High Value Properties?
I just love the last one. I don't even care what's right.
Like, Ding Dong Merrily on High Value Properties?
I just wanted to hear that again.
Shockingly, it's not that one. It is Deck the Halls with Dr. Christmas. And you can see it on TLC if you must. Bob, this year the Ion Channel brings you the movie A Christmas Kiss 2. And yes, that is a sequel to a 2011 Ion movie called A Christmas Kiss. In this sequel, a woman shares a kiss with a billionaire playboy, but she gets cold feet, so what does she do? A. She feigns a romance with her heartbroken next-door neighbor. B, she pretends to be the princess of a land called Blarnia. C, she gets a dog which falls in love with the billionaire's cat. Or D, she gets a job, reads a book, makes some friends, and does some volunteer work, figuring that if he wants to call her, he's got her number.
I feel as if I should really go with that one. I think it's the cornball thing would be the first one.
The one about the neighbor?
The next door neighbor, yeah.
You got it right!
Yes!
All That's what he gets for giving a real answer, Audie Cornish.
What the heck? I mean, ask me something about Syria. I mean, where are you going with this?
All right. I got a very...
I'm starting to think the deck is stacked a little bit.
I got a very serious question for you. Okay. Which of the following will not appear on Michael Bublé's Christmas special? A, the Rock...
Michael Bublé. Are these wishes or what we think is really
wrong?
Okay. A, what? Oh, like it... Bublé fans here? What is going on?
Are you through?
No. This is a tangent. Damn it, I'm a host.
I interviewed Chris Rock. I'm too cool for you. All right. Okay, so which of the following not on Michael Bublé's special on NBC? A, the Rockettes. B, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. C, Miss Piggy. D, Ariana Grande.
That's not on it.
Rockettes, Mormon Tabernacle Choir, Miss Piggy, Ariana Grande.
Those are all, like, expensive things.
A lot of sparkle.
A lot of sparkle. I'm going to go with... I know I've been making this really fraught. It's unnecessary. Maybe...
I don't want to lose. It's...
Okay, I'm going to go with Miss Piggy. No, all right, hear me out. The Rockettes, right, it's like a big thing. It seems like you'd want him in front of them and they'd be doing the kicking. Are they the ones that kick? And then, like, Miss Piggy, you could, it's for the
Audie
kids,
Cornish,
right?
Voice
like,
of the people.
Like, she would come on and be like, oh, you're cute. And he'd be like, oh, Miss Piggy. Like, I can picture, like, yeah.
I broke the host.
They're just, like, not going to let me back in the building tomorrow.
Me neither.
Yeah.
What do you want to go with?
I think I lost already, right? I said Miss Piggy.
Yeah,
oh, I
no.
Can change? Wait, can I change?
No, you can't. It's, it's actually the Mormons. It is the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Bob Mondello, naturally sci-fi, which specializes in movies like Sharknado and Dino Shark, has a Christmas movie as well. What is it called? Is it called Christmas Icetastrophe? Super Frog versus Mistletoad?
I like that.
Holiday Snowcano or Winter Thunderland?
I'm going to go with Icetastrophe.
That is correct.
Oh!
Audie.
Oh my God.
You may have already lost, but.
Bob, you're off the show. Telling you now.
In the, Audie, you know, this is a bonding thing for us. In the Hallmark Channel movie.
Oh, now you want to bond.
Yeah.
Could a sister get an email earlier in the day?
Yeah. Okay. In the Hallmark Channel movie, The Christmas Parade, a morning television host is humiliated on the air and retreats to a small town where she works on a parade float in order to do what? A, save an ailing reindeer. B, save a crumbling post office. C, save a children's art center. D, save an obscure but important species of insect that isn't cute at all but is critical to the ecology of a local swamp.
One of these is not true, or one
no,
of these is
they,
true?
She's only doing one of those things. A woman can only do so much. It's one of those things. She's doing a parade float, and the point is save the reindeer, save the post office, save the children's art center. Or save the ugly insect.
I'm going to say the children's art center.
Boom! Audie Cornish. You still lost.
Yeah.
Bob Mondello, congratulations on your victory. Thank you guys so much. She's like, too soon. We thought we'd do a little bit of Q&A. So we do have two microphones down here. We're going to bring Stephen and Glenn back up. It's not just me. Ask me questions.
My name is Megan, and I live here in D.C. My question, I actually have kind of two. The first one is, I'm wondering, you use the word nerd a lot, clearly, and I'm just kind of wondering how you define nerd and nerd culture, if there's a way to actually quantify that.
I look in the mirror.
We've touched on this in the past, and I think we all agree that it's not about what you love. It's about how you love it, how it becomes sort of all-consuming, how it's something that you want to share. It's not selfish. It's something that you get excited by something. It's enthusiasm, basically.
Steven's a football nerd.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it counts.
Yeah. And really, actually, just as socially undesirable.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I agree with Glenn. I think we define it as enthusiasm of a certain very loving and enthusiastic kind.
Inclusive, yes.
Yeah. Inclusive, yeah.
All right. My second thing is I was actually listening to your most recent show on the way over here, and I was wondering if Glenn might bless us with the song of the Heat Miser.
What? I'm not going to...
Maybe just the first verse.
It's not a thing. I'm just going to say, I'm Mr. Green Christmas. We talked about this on the show. I'm Mr. Green Christmas. I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Heat Blister. I cannot stress how important that is.
So you asked what a nerd?
Yeah. I'm Mr. 101. They call me.
Because he has no friends.
He has got no friends. Miser, whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch, which is arguably more violent than turning to snow. Turning to snow is kind of happy. Melting is bad. I'm too much, and then they dance. That's pretty much it.
Thank you for your questions.
Hi, my name's Lee from here in D.C. You are all seasoned media professionals and all of that sort of thing.
The hottie's over there like, no.
I was wondering if you could quickly relate a story of when you were an enormous dork and came up to a microphone just for the opportunity to just like be like, hi, you're awesome. Because this is not the first time I've done that, but I am doing that right now. So.
I was at the mall and I ran into a girl in my class who said to me, you have to go to the jewelry store because Kitty and Peter Carruthers are there and he is really, really cute. So I went to the jewelry store, and I behaved about as I always behaved at that age, which is that I went up to him, and I said, my friend told me that I should come here and see you guys because you are really cute. And I actually still can have, like, a physical cringe reaction when I think about the fact that I did that. And after I mentioned that briefly on the show one time, he actually wrote me a lovely email. He did not remember it happily. But he said, nice story. So...
Yeah. Boy, I don't even know if I should tell this story.
You should.
Then you probably should. You can't untell it if you tell it.
It's not actually. It's funny that you mentioned like hard-hitting journalism because this is more a journalism fail than a fan fail. Oh my God! When I was 20 years old, I was a reporter for the Daily Cardinal in Madison, Wisconsin. Madison in the house! And I was tasked with covering a speech by the wife of a famous presidential candidate named Hillary Clinton. And the Clintons were, by this point, a significant enough deal that Hillary Clinton, you know, packed the law library where she was speaking. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people. And I've brought my little tape recorder and I've got my little notepad. And at the end of her speech, yeah, everybody's clearing out. I walk out the front of the building, and lo and behold, who do I wind up face to face with but Hillary Clinton herself? Tiny woman, terrifying blue eyes. And I stood there, microphone in hand, exclusive! It's an exclusive! Literally, all I could think of to say, and all I did say, this is, oh, it's so bad. And I stand there, nice speech.
That's a good one.
I'm shrinking on stage just thinking about it.
It's tough. Those moments are tough. Yeah. She will not send you an email, probably. That is a good question. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm Patrick from D.C. I love your Superman book. I give it as a gift, actually,
oh, thanks,
a lot.
Man.
So I was curious if you all got to write an authorized or unauthorized biography of a fictional character who you would want to pour your resources toward.
Oh, boy.
The world is not yet ready, nor will it ever be ready for Aquaman, the unauthorized biography. But, you know, he's an underdog. Anybody can love Superman. Aquaman, it takes
wait,
certain
he said
kind
underdog.
Of...
I'll take underdog.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't have a great idea. Yeah. Underdog and Aquaman is what we came up with.
Got it.
So
all right.
We're killing it. Thank you very much, Patrick.
Thanks.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Dan from Baltimore.
Hello, Dan from Baltimore.
Thank you. So about a year ago, the Internet Archive welcomed us into their virtual living room when they announced that they had 5 original game consoles available on emulator for your browser. Over the past year, they've added games, including Zaxxon. So does the Zaxxon rule need to be renamed now that we can all play it, or is it more important that you have it in the cabinet and we only have it
in
browser?
That's a great question. Is the name of the Zaxxon rule outdated because now everyone can play Zaxxon?
Wow. Well, everybody could play Zaxxon before there were home versions.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's a good part question.
For those of you who are not familiar with the Zaxxon rule, that is the name we gave the rule that when we talk about the things making us happy, we try to make them things that everyone can enjoy, as opposed to, like, I have a Zaxxon machine in my house, which is something that was making Stephen happy for about 8 weeks in a row, I think.
Well, there was a whole thing about acquiring the Zaxxon machine. I mean, if you go to Craigslist, you can buy arcade machines. Well, first of all, speaking to that wonderful treasure trove of games, I think it's fantastic, but having already acquired 9 full-size stand-up video game cabinets, I've already decided, like, man, you got to stand up and play at a big 400-pound box that you moved yourself and almost died. So I think the Zaxxon rule will apply to that specific Zaxxon machine.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I love a question with a personal touch.
Hello, my name is Emily. I'm originally from the Detroit area, and I now live in Silver Spring. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say my boyfriend and I can't wait for the Batman book.
Oh, cool.
Because we have these hours-long running conversations about the problem with the Nolan movie is the long Halloween, the detective versus whether he should kill the Joker or not. It's really nerdy. But my question is, how do you guys, specifically to podcasts, how do you choose when to stop listening to one? There are so many podcasts I'm listening to, so many wonderful ones, but some of them put out 2 to 3, 4 a week.
Yeah.
And at what point do you go, I can't keep up with this, I have to let it go?
I think you prioritize and you say, I will never stop listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour. That you say to yourself, like, they can pry Pop Culture Happy Hour out of my cold, dead hands. And then you slowly, like, prioritize from there.
I mean, my feeling about it, and Glenn listens to a lot more podcasts than I do.
And him especially, like, how do you keep track?
Well, I go by the topic being discussed and the person. Like, there can be some great podcasts, and if they're having somebody I've never heard of or they're talking about something I have no interest in, it's very simple. It's there's no science to it. It's just... and you also, you know, you have moods. You feel like you want to listen to Marc Maron. Sometimes you don't.
Thank you.
Great question. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and this was my Christmas present from my husband. It was a whole mystery. We live like 2.5 hours south of here.
That is so great.
And it's like I was genuinely like, it's like I went to a Beyonce concert or something. I'm so excited to be here. I'm really sad. It was a surprise, though, because I have a whole, like, Audie and Michelle and Ophabia t-shirt I've made.
Oh, wow.
So I think my nerd credentials are now established. So
I gotcha.
My question is...
I get that you were caught off guard.
Yes. I feel a little overdressed, but it's okay. My first intersection with pop culture and the internet was when I was so stressed out by the cliffhangers on Alias that, like, I had to do something with all my feelings, and I found this little website called Television Without Pity. And it changed.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. And it changed the whole way I interacted with pop culture, because I had suddenly a community of people who cared about these very specific dumb things. Like, you know, who really is Michael Vaughn?
Spy Daddy.
Yeah, so I'm wondering when the internet and pop culture came together for each of you.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up reading comics and talking about them at the comic book store and going to conventions and just nerding out with people. And what I noticed was that when the internet came along, it sort of mapped itself over those existing networks. Didn't replace them, just was exactly mapped over that. So the feeling of getting together and obsessing over something was exactly what I got in chat rooms or whatever, message boards and that kind of thing. The good and the bad. So I think that's one of the things that happened with the internet, is that there are already nerd communities, but one of the great things it did was it removed this, largely, removed the barrier to entry. There were all of a sudden places you could go to figure out everything you wanted to know. It used to be where you had to kind of just tough it out and read the comics and buy the back issues and figure it out yourself, but then it became this very forgiving and welcoming place. It didn't last long, but...
Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, where I got to know a bunch of other people. Like, it was AOL, I think, like people on AOL who were fans of it, and then I participated in an online trivia contest in which I won a signed photo of Dean Cain that said, "Dear Linda, super wishes, Dean Cain." All right. That is about all we have this evening. Before we go, we absolutely need to thank some people. Above all, our wonderful producer, Jessica Reedy, who produced this live event for us and who basically makes it possible every week for us to bring a show to you. And so we're always in Jessica's debt. Our guests, Barry Hardiman, Kat Chow, Matt Thompson, Bob Mondello, and Audie Cornish. From NPR, helping us out with the show, Alice Winkler, Rhonda Abdelfatah, and Neil Tivalt. Here at Sixth and I, our engineer Joe, Jackie Leventhal, and Lisa Yokelson. And back at NPR HQ, Anna Seebach, Izzy Smith, and Eric Newsom. Thank you all so much for coming. This is so wonderful. It means so much to us that you all come out and that you support the show. We could not do it without you. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour this year. We have a holiday treat, a preview of Invisibilia, NPR's newest show. Invisibilia looks at the invisible forces that shape human behavior. Like, how do other people's expectations physically change your brain? From the people who created This American Life and Radiolab, look for Invisibilia on iTunes under podcasts. Subscribe and be the first to hear full episodes of Invisibilia on January 9th. Listen.